It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Today we are broadcasting live from Jumpstart 2019. You can probably hear the energy in the room here.
The buzz,
lots of buzz. This is the definitive supply chain intelligence gathering. So as we've been talking about all morning, if you're in supply chain, it's the place to be this week. It's hosted by our friends over at SMC3. And in this third segment, we're joined once again by the by Mr. Will Haraway. Good morning, Will.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Glad to have you on this fine Monday morning.
Jump starting.
That's right. Our special guest for this segment is Kevin Springer with SMC3. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Good morning, Will. Thanks for having us.
Glad you're here.
Pleasure has been here.
Well, appreciate y'all having us. And JP Wiggins with 3GTMS. Good morning, JP.
Good morning there, Scott and Will. Nice to be there.
Glad you're here. So let's start with the easy stuff. Before we get into a lot of the things that y'all are up to help make supply chain happen, Kevin, let's start with you. Tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. Kevin Springer. I manage the sales and customer support at SMC3. We're a unique organization. We serve the LTL industry predominantly, but that spans into all modes of the supply chain. And we help support shippers, 3PLs, carriers through our technology. And then part of our segment also is to put on this conference that you guys are attending to bring education about supply chain to our entire industry. Prior to SMC, I've been here 10 years. I was a freight forwarding ERP prior to that with a company called WiseTech Global. Mm. And then with Descartes for several years selling EDI and visibility solutions. And then before that, I was with the 3PL, SIVA Global Logistics, part of Eagle Worldwide. So I've been in supply chain, by chance, coming out of school, it just worked out that way. Didn't have any great desire to do it, but once it gets in your blood,
oh boy,
you
it's addictive.
Stay with it.
What's really interesting to hear kind of the how you've come at supply chain and early transportation from different angles, mm-hmm. right? From moving it with SIVA Logistics to the technology side, which is probably a big asset to your role here at SMC3,
yep.
right?
That, exactly. And just as you said it, I came from moving it to now kind of tracking it and keeping the visibility on the technology side. So it gives me kind of a good rounded picture.
Okay. All right. So let's shift gears. JP Wiggins with 3GTMS. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so 3GTMS, we're a transportation management software provider. We call ourselves a Tier 1 multimodal transportation provider. About a five-year-old company. We over-the-road transportation. Most of our customers, or I'd say about 60% of our customers, are 3PL or some form of logistics service provider, because that box 3PL is getting pretty blurry lately. Mm. Between what's a blurry, what's a carrier, what's a shipper, what's a 3PL, and then the other is the true shippers themselves. The food industry seems to be one of the biggest industries that are really
right.
heavy on TMS these days. Myself, personally, I run channels and partners for 3G. I've been in transportation software my entire career. Just before this, I was at SAP, ran the business unit that had the transportation management for SAP. Before that was a company called G-Log, which then became Oracle's transportation management. Actually founded G-Log back in 1999, and we sold that to Oracle in 2005. And did some time at Descartes Systems a little bit before that, and then was at another company called Wesley Software, which ended up becoming Red Prairie, which is now JDA's transportation management. So
JP, you haven't spent any time with recognizable brands from SAP to Oracle to Descartes to JDA. I mean, you're just working for all the small folks, huh?
This is the little guys. So yeah, well, the companies that it's Mitch Wesley and myself. We've started up three of these companies.
Wow.
The first one was Wesley Software, which really nobody ever heard of, but they know what McHugh Freeman is, and know who Red Prairie is, and they know who JDA is.
Wow.
Very few people know who G-Log was, or unless you're really in the business, but you know who Oracle is, and you know Oracle Transportation Management. So, and SAP was a great run, great company. I know there's a lot of folks on the outside that don't like SAP, but inside it's a phenomenal company.
Absolutely.
Work for the Germans was great.
And 5 years now, 3G TMS, 5 years into the journey, right?
5 years, almost six.
Almost
so,
six.
Yeah, about 100 people in size, about 100 customers right now.
Okay.
We work really well with SMC3 now. They're actually one of our premier partners, I would say. We've actually improved our partnership with a couple of internal deals this past 2 years. And expanded their use of their tariff offerings and their rateware offerings and their service offerings, which we kind of tried to do ourselves for our first 5 years, which was just a mistake.
Mm. They're power partners in the industry, SMC3, right?
Yeah, just great to work with, too.
Yep.
Honest, easy, upfront. They put their cards on the table. Yeah.
Yep. So on this segment, we're talking shipping strategies. So I understand that SMC3 processes 50 million LTL pricing requests daily. Holy cow. And I've heard some background information on how technology providers, 3PLs, and shippers use SMC3 solutions to streamline workflow, driving costs out of shipping, and improving customer experience, which, of course, in the Amazon age, that's a North Star. So we're going to dive more into that with the rest of the segment as we will. What we got in the background? What?
I was trying to figure that out myself. I don't know. It's country for sure.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time figuring it out.
But, I love it. I love it. All right. So let's dive into the main course here. So tell us why, Kevin, let's start with you. Tell us why rating is so important, especially in these times of a constrained market.
Sure. So, I mean, LTL rating is unique in its attributes and its history, much different than traditional truckload rating. Or I'll call more simplified rate per mile type of things. LTL steeped in history and complicity. And rating is very complex. And so it's shippers, 3PLs, technology providers. It's really an undo process that they need to try to figure out, as JP mentioned, and let us do the hard and the work and the heavy lifting so that they can then take that data and then add value to it. You know, the contract management, the pricing just begins with getting the rate, but then you have to add the accessorials, the fuel, all the complicated stuff with it, and then actually deliver some value through optimization, whether you're rate shopping or executing or whatever it might be. So through our cloud, partners such as 3G, carriers, freight payment connect to that cloud for us to do the traditional rating. So they pass us the information that they want us to calculate, really, to do the math. We take care of the rate alternation, deficit rating, and then send the charges back to them so that they can do what they do best, which is add value to the end user.
JP, anything you'll
add on to that? Adding value to the end user is really what we're talking about here. I mean, we're on my side, I'm a TMS. My customers use my system to then fulfill orders to their client base. And what does their client base want? Their client base doesn't want any complexity. They want to know, all right, I need this shipment. I need it delivered on Thursday at 3:30. That's how much is it going to cost me? They don't need to know or want to know any of the other complexities of, well, where's the inventory cost? I'm going to have fuel service costs. Do I need to make this appointment? Right. Is this going to be a truckload or a parcel or LTL or whatever? And making it simple to them so that you can just say, hey, you know what? We're going to ship to you. It's going to come Saia. Mm. It's going to arrive by Thursday at 3:30, and it's going to be $423.
Simplicity.
That's what they want. That's what they want.
You remember back in middle school, they'd give us word problems, and they'd give us all this data, and you really only needed two pieces.
Yeah.
And it really sounds like what, we're eliminating all the information, all this irrelevant information that the customers don't need to make movement much more simple and easy and streamlined.
Let the computers get complicated, because you still need the complexity. If you're that person that's trying to determine what the best rate is, you need to see that complexity so you can determine, well, what carrier should I be using in this lane, and how much is it going to cost me, or how much is that freight going to be, and maybe being able to negotiate a better rate with your carrier.
So the landscape continues to change, right? And I think change faster. How, Kevin, we'll go back to you. How are you balancing your customers' needs for contract management and direct-to-carrier API?
Sure. So, the internet, everything on the supply chain is gone to the web-based cloud, and speed is, just a critical extreme. I mean, even when you're, whether you're shopping on Amazon or clicking on an article, if that thing is not loaded in milliseconds, we're off to the next thing. It's even more so in the business world of supply chain rating, is returning those rates and requests in millisecond time. And so, what's happening within the industry You know, we continue to optimize the speed through our rating engines and power, and you've got really two different components going on with LTL rating, but I would say multimodal rating. People traditionally trying to calculate the rate in-house as well as getting the rate directly from the carrier. Mm. And so RateWare really gives our clients the ability to get that information much quicker so that they can take it in millisecond response time and add either their profit margins to it or pass direct costs on, accessorials and fuel, and present a direct cost. It gives our clients the ability to do optimization on the front end, whether they're building out loads, whether they're trying to consolidate, whether they're looking at you know, how to optimize the entire shipment cycle that's coming in that day, and then also to audit. You know, we want to be able to make sure we're going to, you know, be billed what we're supposed to be billed based upon our contract. Mm-hmm. And then really the second component is what we call direct-to-carrier APIs. That could be any carrier, multimodal, LTL, where you're reaching out to get the rates. And the advantage there is that you know, you don't have to do that complex contract management on the front where you're managing discounts, managing the accessorials. But, you know, you what you give up in that direct-to-carrier is much along the lines of speed. Mm. We were talking 8 to 10 seconds to get a rate back. And then, you know, are you actually getting the proper rate that you're supposed to be getting back? So it all depends on the client. Mm. And so, you know, if you've got substantial spend, auditing is critical. Optimizing is utmost with it. But if you're a smaller shipper or smaller broker that doesn't have the means to manage that complex contract management, which is what, you know, 3G does very well. And those are the things that, you know, make them, their partners and their customers be able to do that more complex level. And so, you know, we have customers that use one or the other. And then there's also, you know, kind of a myriad in between where we want to use both of them.
Mm. So let's talk about optimization, JP, with you. What else are...
Is it fitting with Highway to Hell in the background?
I was about to say, I mean, 2018 was kind of to hell for LTL market, wasn't it? Yeah.
JP, you're going to have to host your own show with us here. I like that. So let's talk about optimization from your perspective. What are your customers looking for?
It falls into that complexity. You want to simplify the complexity for the end client. And, you know, in the shipper's world, there's so much e-commerce initiatives going on. There's so many differences in the fulfillment models that the customers are asking for that we're using optimizations to keep inventory levels low. We're using optimizations to find the ultimate method of transportation, keeping that as costs as low down in an ever-changing world. I mean, no 3PL. It's like, where do they store their inventory now? I mean, customers want freight within 48 hours, and they want a full fulfillment of freight.
Yeah.
They want all orders delivered. They don't want just a partial shipment. They want everything delivered, and they want it in 48 hours, it seems like. So, you know, the whole world of inventory optimization is out the roof right now.
And you got, you know, and you touched on e-commerce a second ago as a driving factor. And I was just curious, you know, 2018 was, all joking aside, a very strange year for your marketplace. Everything from e-commerce to the capacity crunch, you know, the driver shortage, and certainly the tariffs and trade war stuff that I know affects all of these rates as well. So what are we looking at for 2019? I'd love to know from these two experts here.
You know, from a transportation management perspective, what my clients have figured out is that e-commerce really means collaboration.
Yeah.
It means that I have to have all the data, I had to have it clean, I have to give it to my customers timely. And they're also going to ask to see, well, how are you going to handle these specialized fulfillment that my customer is asking me for? You know, that's the big one we're seeing. And then we're seeing this other one, which is on time in full.
Yeah.
OTIF, man. These big shippers are putting these OTIF penalties, and they're becoming profit centers. So you have these profit centers in the OTIF. So you may show up on time, but let's say the dock was busy and they don't get your truck unloaded. Well, you're still going to get hit with an OTIF fine. I mean, it's insane what's happening right now. So data, collaboration, you know, and optimization is, you know, that's 2019 for you there.
Well, let's bring Kevin in here because today's world, I mean, e-commerce is the 800-pound, maybe the 1,600-pound or 16,000-pound gorilla in the room. How do you see e-commerce really factoring into the changing and evolving needs and demands of your customers?
I mean, e-commerce is driving, you know, the entire supply chain these days. I mean, we, you know, we have a unique ability to work with, you know, technology providers and then their end users. And it's amazing that we touch so much of the Fortune 500 companies that we see, you know, retailers that are in competitive environments. Which ones are doing the most successful? Who is, you know, creating the best online experience? Who's able to deliver in-store or to... And we can look at their transportation departments. We can look at some of the technology, and then we can look at what's going on in the market between those two and see which ones are well run and which ones are struggling in that capacity. It's a unique perspective that we get to see working with so many different providers. But, you know, we've also seen because of e-commerce and the you have to be connected. You have to be on the web. Even small, medium-sized 3PL shippers and the technology out there, you know, is driving costs down. Mm. I mean, so there is really from a cost component, their cost barriers have been you know, removed to allow you to get some entry in it. And then as your needs grow, as your business grows, and as your requirements grows, then you'll be able to tier up to the TMS that best fits your needs. Mm. And you have to have it in today's high-driven and high e-commerce world.
So in that world you're just speaking to, LTL parcel merging from a rating and optimization standpoint. Can you speak to that a little bit, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of both. Just that component, you know, do I have the ability to consolidate orders? We met with a manufacturer the other day that ships everything as it comes down. When if there was some way that they could see that ahead of time through an optimization tool where they could consolidate loads, particularly parcel, which because of its size is a high-cost unit of shipping, LTL being the next high-cost unit. So anytime you're shipping those, your transportation costs on a per-unit basis is the most expensive compared to truckload or intermodal. Yeah. So you've got to be able to see where you can consolidate that. Even some carriers have tried to do that with their 100-weight programs and things like that. But ultimately, greater visibility you have to all those coming orders coming down the night prior so that you can plan through, you know, optimization tools to ship the best and low-cost options.
Mm. JP?
And we're also seeing the way the rating systems are working for parcel. You see a lot of like LTL rates becoming more parcel-ish type in the way you actually have to calculate and come up with the rate. And maybe even the same from parcel. I mean, both of these carrier modes are trying to optimize their yields and being able to understand what kind of freight is coming at them. And I think that's another big change that we're seeing in industries, that now we can actually give them this information. We can now give them, before we'd had to give them, we were lucky if we could get commodity information to determine a freight class. Now we actually need to understand, well, how many pallets? What's the dimension of those pallets? How much linear feet are we coming up with this truck? That's the type of data that is now available. And if it is available, it's going to help the carriers improve their ability to give us better pricing. And that's where we're seeing the world change a little bit there, too.
We're not relying on just the information contained on the facts these days. We can dive much deeper, right?
It's getting better, but it's still a little bit of a mess because everywhere you go, you have a very variety of systems. I mean, you may have a very immature order management system. The warehouse may not even know what the heck they've picked until it's actually physically sitting on a pallet and shrink-wrapped. Versus other places would know exactly what they have. So it is a little challenge. And we even run into the big challenge we run into is dates. Mm. Can two orders be consolidated? Well, we don't know. Well, why don't we know? Because they haven't given us the delivery window. Yeah. You know, they don't know when. They just said, well, it has to be there, and they give us a date and time. But can that overlap? Can I ship it early? Those types of things. So there's some changes that we got to work upstream in the supply chain process, but we're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we touched on customers, of course, a couple times in the segment thus far. Let's dive into a specific customer success story that might illustrate some of the changing landscape, changing demands, changing needs. What comes to mind, Kevin?
I mean, you know, for us, between the shippers and the 3PLs, I mean, we unfortunately don't get to see a lot of that end user, what I'll call, you know, success stories. Mm. All of our clients that consume our products have the ability to take their company to the next level. So for us, you know, we work with the largest 3PLs, the largest shippers, and the biggest technology providers. So, you know, we're in a very unique market. So just as, you know, JP mentioned in 3G, I mean, that's been a success story for us. you know, working with them and as their business has grown over the last 5 years, helping them, seeing them move from a smaller market to a mid-market, now dealing with tier one suppliers and shippers. And so, you know, I would attribute some of that rating speed and logic, and then working with them, you know, closer. As we mentioned, we've taken the last 2 years to work closer together, both on the tariff side and the technology side, and now looking even closer on the APIs, where, you know, we can act as a consolidator of APIs for them. And so instead of them having to connect to 50, 100 different carriers, they can connect to us one time and provide that pipe through them, so that they don't have to maintain those APIs. And even on the rating side, right, they don't, building a rating engine is complicated, but it, and you can do it, but it doesn't add a lot of value to what they offer the customer. So being able to take care of all of that lead work for all of our customers allows them to go on and create, you know, that value proposition for the end users about really all the exciting stuff that a TMS does.
So JP, let's pose the same question to you. You know, some of the customers, give us a case study or a snippet.
You know, the example that comes to mind is Rohlig, and that, they're actually here at the show here also, and they're a client of mine for more than 5 years. They're one of my first customers that we really did sign up. And they have about 80 clients themselves. They use maybe 30-some LTL tariffs rate basis, so maybe even a little more in there. And the case study is real simple, because we converted them over to RateWare and Carrier Connect, and it literally was turned it on in the sandbox, let them play with it for 3 days, and then they rolled it out into production on the fourth day, and there was zero support calls.
Did they rest on the fifth day? Or is that the
It was,
so
you know, literally.
It's not.
It just literally rolled out.
Yeah,
that's an incredible implementation speed.
You know, now they were live with some, you know, custom tariffs that, like, we had internally had been building for them, but, you know, it was just, was able to just roll out RateWare and Carrier Connect and just move that through. And then now the rollout continues further, because we give a very simple portal. We call it our Quick Ship portal, which then their end customers log into. These are people that don't know LTL, but ship LTL. And so there's a real simple Quick LTL portal. Client logs in, keys in the dimension of their freight. They get to see a quick rate shop using the rates that Rohlig has negotiated for them. Print bills of ladings, track the freight, see a little Google map. You know, just simple things. Like, I'm a clerk. I work at a small shipper. We ship two LTL shipments a week. I want to be able to just hit a portal with no training and ship freight. And that's what we've, you know, so we've taken all the complexities out of it, and, you know, using the RateWare tools and using Carrier Connect, give them their cost and time options. So just simple, quick.
JP, as a you know, as someone that's been in the TMS industry for as long as you have, talk about how, just how it's evolved to the point where you can get to the point of getting something implemented in 4 days. I mean, that's incredible going back through.
You know, now with modern tools, you're all cloud hosted.
Yeah.
Your rates do become one of your long poles generally. Your rates and your integration become your long poles in your implementation, because you don't have to install software anymore. You're taking a
slice. You don't have to train on it anymore, like you just said. It's intuitive, and people don't want to go through the training anyway now.
Well, we still train. We have to train on rates and how to set up your rates digitally via contract. But if you've got familiarity with that, that's that. Like I said, that's the long pole in a lot of these types of projects is doing that. But, you know, rapid start. A full blown tier one TMS was literally something you take that on. You're looking at years of implementation, you know. So, you know, but so it was completely unaffordable for anybody except for the largest shippers and largest 3PLs in the world. But now we try to get things. Hey, has to be less than 3 months. You know, you got to be shipping freight in 3 months. That's really what we focus on.
So not plug and play, but I mean, 3 days, like going back to what you said, 3 days in the sandbox, and the fourth day it's being used, it's being rolled out across the enterprise, right?
Yeah, let's say week one we're rolling out in the sandbox, and week two we put it in production. I mean, it was just a simple thing.
Yep. So transportation technology, automation is the name of the game. Transportation, supply chain, logistics, manufacturing, you name it these days. Automating a lot of things that were once manual, which, you know, important point, Will, we talk about all the times. Automation and the technology is not replacing jobs. It is augmenting.
Supporting. Yeah.
Right? There's still lots of opportunities. But in transportation, let's talk about how, you know, getting a volume rate from a carrier, you know, that's getting automated. Are you seeing more demand, Kevin, for these kinds of integrations?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, think of it prior to, you know, general rating. It's the same concept with volume. You know, if you wanted to get a rate from a carrier, you had to call the carrier up, you know, get five quotations, or you had to go on the website, get five quotes manually. And so what the rating on has obviously moved well ahead. That component, you can rate shop and do all those things. But volume quoting has traditionally still been a completely manual process, not only for the end user seeking one, but also for the carriers. And so about 3 or 4 years ago, some of the carriers started creating these APIs where you could connect to them electronically to pass the same information for the sole purpose of eliminating the phone calls, eliminating the paperwork, and trying to automate the whole process. And so, you know, we have just rolled out our volume API where, you know, a single connection, there are actually 9 carriers that offer a volume quote, which traditionally means, you know, it's a larger than normal traditional LTL shipment, anywhere from 6 to 10 linear feet can become qualifications for a volume quote, or 5,000 pounds and above. And so we're, instead of having to call those 6 carriers, we've now, or 9 carriers, we've connected to them directly. You can pass a system integration to us. We then hit those 9 carriers and pass those options back to you, completely automated. Carriers see the value as well, and it just streamlines the entire process.
So how's it different between a software provider like 3G TMS versus, you know, 3PL and the e-shipping environment? How are you seeing this automation?
Well, we actually have to look at it like a brokerage almost, if you're a 3PL, because if you've taken a volume quote, you then think, well, what's my markup going to be on that? And you try to automate that. Well, let me just do a 10% markup, or maybe you're going to do a markup based on some other type of percentage. So you're going to have a buy side. Well, here's how much I'm going to pay the carrier, and then you have a sell side, how much I'm going to sell and invoice this customer. And you have to track that and flow that through the whole system. So when the time comes through to get paid and cut your customer invoices, you know what to do there. So in many ways, we kind of turn it into a little bit of a brokerage type of environment. You know, from a shipper, though, it's just something to simplify their process. Hey, they got 6 pallets, you know, 6-8 pallets going out, and they need a volume quote. And as opposed to picking up the phone and calling the carriers, you know, they can use an API now. That's what the world has gone to.
So digital transformation, digitization, that's another, if we're talking automation, if we're talking e-commerce, talking Amazon age, it's all about going digital. So how does, and we've I know we've touched on this a little bit, but how does rating and optimization fit into the overall digital transformation of logistics that we are seeing today? And who, Kevin or JP, who wants to go first on that one?
JP, get it started.
Yeah, you could go anywhere with this one. I mean, this is a softball question that you could go. But, yep. You know, with the e-commerce, actually, this is the session they're talking about right now, which is collaboration. That's really what's going on here, is the digitization and being able to use that data to collaborate with your trading partners, and then to be able to save that data to make to be able to analyze that data. And where we're going with it, though, is that right now the world seems to be, there's so many exceptions in everything that you do. Uh-huh. Every process, every supply chain has almost more exceptions than they do normal processes. What you want to happen is you want automation to handle as many of those exceptions as physically possible. So exceptions become the norm right now. Like I have clients that tell me, I have more exceptions than I have people to work at. I need the computer to manage the exceptions. I have people that will program what those exceptions should be and what to deal with them, but I don't want to deal with exceptions.
Yeah, I'll just chime in on that. Both, you know, where we play into those specifically are on the rating side and the visibility side. And, you know, when there is a freight payment that is a bill that hasn't matched up, how can we quickly process and efficiently notify that or see it on the front end? And so how can we prevent a carrier misbill, which means that the carrier doesn't get paid properly or on time, means the 3PL has to collect, and then the shipper. So it just slows down the whole process. And then really, even on the visibility side, you know, through our Carrier Connect, which is transit, which, you know, we've kind of talked about rating, but transit plays into rating in a very critical manner, which we also provide to support that. So how much does it cost, but how fast can you get it there? So we're working with visibility providers, you know, out there to be able to take that transit information, lay out the map, and prevent all of those exceptions, whether it's a transit delay, a weather delay, all of those things to, you know, digitize the exception management, as JP mentioned.
So freight tech, transportation tech. You know, I saw something earlier a month or so ago with FreightWaves, who's active in the industry. And they were talking about, if you looked at fintech and the amount of investment over the last, you know, 10 years or so, and compared that with the freight tech, there's a ton of investment going on in that industry and at a faster rate. So let's we're going to invite Kevin and JP to pull out their crystal balls here. So what does the next 2 to 5 years look like in terms of transportation tech? And Kevin, let's start with you.
Yeah, more of the same. You know, I think it's going to continue its pace. You know, we're because we're plugged into so many in the technology side and the 3PL side, we're seeing consolidation. We're seeing investment. Private equity is all over, but also on the shipper. We just met with a company up in Lexington, Kentucky, a large fan company, just went private equity. So there's been a lot of money on the sidelines in the previous years, and there still is. And so we're going to continue to see more of it. And the supply chain. I think people have looked at it in the past. It wasn't. Maybe as a lucrative investment opportunity, but I think the technology component to it has automated it, where previously it was an all manual, high labor, high capital business, and now it's being digitized and automated to become an extremely lean and profitable business for shippers and carriers and the 3PLs and the technology to provide it. So I don't see it slowing down. I see a lot more capital to come. And the big guys, the larger players are just starting to, build up the medium size, where you may at some point have, three or four. And who knows what Amazon's going to do. I'm waiting for them to buy a major 3PL. My prediction, they're going to buy XPO and shake this whole thing up.
Wow.
Soon they're just going to buy a 3D printing company, and they're just going to make the products themselves as soon as you order them and just send them to you. That's just right. Cut all middlemen.
Yes.
From what you shared there, Kevin, it seems like with technology entering into the freight and the transportation space, it's really demystifying it for a lot of investors. And they're since it's not such a foreign world, because a lot of these investors, let's face it, they know technology. They're very comfortable in technology. And it seems like it's making them much more comfortable with investing in the space.
It is. And there's a lot of risk, too. I mean, some of the valuations I've seen on some companies that, knowing in the industry, a lot of risk with different startups. But, that's what changes the industry. And that's what's going to create a different marketplace 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Mm. All right, JP, let's see what's going on in your crystal ball.
Well, people have realized that in the e-commerce world, that the logistics function, the physical transportation function, is now part of the business. And in fact, it's probably one of the most critical part of the business is transportation now. So you can't, in something that was a back office and a backroom function is now central to the business. And that's why, like I talked about the food example briefly, food is realized as food is now insourcing. They're taking control over it because the delivery of the product is an important part of the overall deal, even more than cost now.
And the control chain of custody, making sure that we're eliminating some of that risk, right?
And the same with retail or automotive or CPG, oil and gas. If I'm an oil and gas company and I'm looking for a part at a wellhead, I need all of the parts at the wellhead on time. And that delivery of that is probably more important to me than the cost of the product. Mm. So the person that has the better fulfillment model is the person that gets the business. So what does this mean? Well, we're still stuck where we can't get our trading partners together. And I'm talking about across the whole industry. It's still siloed. The LTL world is siloed from the truckload world, and that's siloed from the commercial carrier truckload world is siloed from private fleet. Mm. And let's go down the whole, how many, 500,000 truckload carriers out there with 8 fleets or less. Mm. So, it's great if you have contract carriers, and it's great for some modes, but we don't have it all solved right now. And being able to solve it is what is some of the gaps. And so, if I have to wave my magic wand, I do have high hopes for blockchain here for that. Mm. I mean, I don't know who can actually do it or who can actually pull it off, but could somebody pull off a type of blockchain where all those 500,000 truckload carriers start feeding into a blockchain and then I can use it to tender to them and figure out where status is? I mean, heck, I can't figure out where status is for half these guys.
Well, speaking of, you mentioned food and blockchain. We're going to be talking with Steve Banker this afternoon, and he wrote an article on the IBM Food Trust, I believe is the name of it, where it's a conglomerate of 12 of the big Walmarts and all these other big-time shippers, and how they're leveraging blockchain to really protect the food supply chain, especially in light of what we've seen in the last few months here. Less salads, right, for a variety of different reasons. So I want to circle back with one last question on pricing. So many have said that carriers would be in favor of density-based price formats, you know, rather than class and the pendulum swing that swung in their favor in 2018. Do you see any new, and we'll start with Kevin here, do you see any new developments or movement in regards to density-based pricing?
Sure. I mean, it's still out there. It's a slow-moving process, but I do believe it's going to continue to evolve. You know, we publish a base rate, Zarlite's LTL class bait, but we converted that same class tariff to a density tariff in 2000. Mm. So wow. We've had a density tariff for 18 years thinking this was going to happen a long time ago. And, you know, so today the carriers are dimensionalizing their freight, you know, and my background, as you mentioned, was SIVA, where, you know, we measured every pallet that came in and out of the door. And the global freight forwarding market is bigger than the $35 billion LTL. And the challenge has been that we can't get the DIMs. So that is becoming, an obsolete as well. So the carriers are capturing all that information, not so much for pricing it yet, but for, you know, what I'll call weight and inspection, making sure that the density meets the price parameters that the shippers should be paying, and putting them in the right bracket. Now, you know, shippers have been slow to adopt. I mean, if, you know, shippers that are on a single class or ship a lot of different commodities, you know, I mean, I think they're smart enough to know they're going to probably pay more. Mm. So we haven't seen a major shipper, a Walmart, or somebody that can make an industry change really pushing for this. But we are seeing it with the import-export market, where there is goods coming in, where they're trying to get a through rate as well. As JP mentioned, you've got to be able to do the whole collaboration among trading partners. So from beginning to end, and because of the different modes, trying to get a rate from a door in China to a door in LA or a door in Atlanta is very difficult. And the density and dimensional model can help with that. So we're seeing some of that piece of it. But it's growing, but it's still a slow process, and it's got a long way to go. But I think you're going to continue to see it move in that direction.
So y'all were prepared about 19 years ago, though. Your predictive analytics was dead on.
I the rest of the world is on. You know, I always, you know, the U.S. It's not that we're so arrogant. It's just the rest of the world uses miles and kilometers and pounds. We use pounds, and they still use kilograms. And it's just it's a history of change, trying to unwind the highway systems, the way that we measure. It's just an undaunting task to do that, and it's very expensive to unwind 80 years of history in the LTL component. But, you know, it's going to continue to evolve and get to that way.
And evolve fast.
Yeah. That was when Highway to Hell was supposed to come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
They did not program it the way I asked them to do it. I'm a little annoyed with the production team.
Yeah, that's good. We're really not trying to be difficult here.
So, you know, just adding on to this, I was actually having a great conversation with one of my analysts, Dean Valvidis, and it was at a Butcher's Buffet restaurant. And what we'd like to hear is we can do a lot more on the rating side. The TMS companies can. The question is, what can we do and what we can't? What can we do and what can we not do? And it's something that, like, carriers have never approached us to ask the TMSs what is available. I mean, for us to do dimensional rating, well, we're going to need to have dimensional data from the shippers themselves. You know, we ran into an example, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, ABF, you know, introduced a distance-based minimum that had some components of dimensional to it. And us TMSs, we just couldn't handle it. And what happened? Well, people just took ABF off the schedule. Mm. They couldn't pay it. All of our 3PLs just dropped it. Now, since that time, you know, I was able to work in my development schedule. Okay, we now are able to do it on our side. So we're able to handle that distance-based minimum that ABF has, so they can put it back on there. Had we had advance notice of that, you know, myself, and there's a few, you know, like myself and Oracle and SAP and JDA and, you know, Mercurygate, you know, there's things that we can do, and maybe there's a way that we could collaborate as an industry to find better ways, because, you know, I totally get the problem. Carriers need to be able to fill those trucks better. Mm. The 80-year-old system of freight class is still 80 years old. Well, you know, here it's 2019. We got to find better ways to improve. We want to improve their business, because then they can give us better rates.
That's right. Customers demanding for us to find better ways, right?
Yeah, and that's a great point, JP. I mean, I remember when that rolled out, you know, It's same thing. After they figured out, hey, we can't get anyone, you know, they did, all of our shippers use Oracle or 3G, and we can't get a rate. And so, you know, then the carrier called us after the fact. And, you know, SMC as an industry association, that is exactly what the role we'd like to play. If they're looking to make a major change like that, let us work with our partners so that we can roll this out in a much more efficient manner, because it'll continue to go that way. But definitely work more as an industry association and a better way to incorporate that in the future.
Well, I want to appreciate y'all's time today. One last question, Kevin, for folks to learn more about SMC3, head to the website, right? SMC.
Yeah, SMC3.com. You can see all of our products as well as all of our partner, 3G up there. Click on their link. It'll take you right to their website to tell you about the value they provide. But,
perfect. Yep.
3GTMS.com.
Piece 3GTMS.com. Yep. Great. Well, big thanks, Will.
I'm good. That was illuminating.
Kevin Springer with SMC3, JP Wiggins with 3GTMS. Thank you both for your time.
Pleasure to be here.
Appreciate you sharing.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Will.
You bet. Expertise, perspective. Have a wonderful Jumpstart 19. And that wraps up our third segment, right?
That's our third segment. Terry Pendleton.
That's right.
The Terry Pendleton segment.
TP, hot corner. Jumpstart 19. Stay tuned to our audience. We broadcast live interviews, thought leadership from this rock and roll event all day long today. Be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. Of course, Will, we talked about, you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud, and we love our subscribers, right?
Please subscribe and download. We got 3 million downloads, man. We got to keep rolling.
That's right. Love our subscribers. On behalf of Will Haraway and the entire SNR team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.